Evolutionary.org presents Evolutionary Hardcore Podcast with your co-hosts, Steve from the American Underground and Mobster from the UK Iron Den. Get ready for the most hardcore and underground info in the industry. And here we go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6...
Evolution.org Hardcore 2.0 episode 58 coming your way. Today we're going to talk about what is the most appropriate needle size for beginners. Injection guide by Europharma. So this is one that other podcasts haven't even gone near. This is a great idea, and we've gotten a lot of requests to do a podcast like this, both on the forums and from your comments. And Mobster, you know, compiled a really good list of topics that we're going to do. And I added a couple of my own. We switched some things around, and we're going to talk about the Europharmacy's injectables that you can use. But again, this is a beginner. But even though this is a beginner injection podcast, even if you've been injecting for years, it's just like when I go fishing, there's some fishermen, they're there all the time. They're like retired or in their 60s and 70s. They got nothing else to do with their life except go fishing, but they still suck at fishing. Or they still can improve at fishing, you know? So even if you've been doing this for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, there's still ways to improve your injections. There's also, if you've never used Europharmacy's gear, you may want to consider switching to their gear. And we're going to tell you why in this podcast, based on the quality of their gear, but also based on other things that you wouldn't even think about, like post-injection pain, smoothness of the gear, and the quality of the gear and how it limits side effects because it is quality gear. So there's many different factors that go into injecting. And we're going to do so many different topics. We're going to try to hit so many different topics on this in this episode. So this is one you definitely want to listen to no matter where you are in your journey. So yeah, Mobster, why don't you touch on that a bit, and then we'll get into, and transition over to the Europharma injectables and why you like them so much, because you're a big fan of Europharmacies.
I am, Steve. I mean, here's the thing again, and we touch upon this when we do other shows, and we talk about the history of the sport and mistakes that people have made, and issues that have come up even with ourselves. Literally just today in the gym this very morning, my training partner on the bench press today has a very red mark up on his shoulder. And ironically, it's not near the injection site. So maybe it's a bite, but obviously he's shown it to guys and saying, listen, you might need to go and get that looked at. You and I have talked about on other shows the issues that we've seen, especially in the past, with poor quality products or bad injection technique or bad hygiene that guys have had and the issues that they've had with injections. We know, for example, of individuals that have literally just started steroids and they've injected 4 mL into the very first site of their very first injection. We know that some people have allergic reactions to certain products, especially the lower grade. I think one example that stuck in my mind from, I think it was last year or the year before, where someone said they come across a product where the lab had used peanut oil, quite possibly the most allergic thing that a few people have issues with. But can you imagine not only being allergic to peanuts, but injecting peanut oil into your body, for example? We know that there are companies that add a small amount of, I think, is it benzyl alcohol for the antibiotic bacteria killing properties to the oils. But if the ratio's wrong, then it stings. It's not the worst thing ever, but you want as painless and as good an experience as you possibly can. So then we go over to Europharmacies, and the reason why we can talk about it in this particular way. When you've got a company that's been around close for 20 years, like Europharmacies, they aren't doing these stupid fucking things anymore. You're not seeing these kind of issues. And what happens, and I'm just talking about amongst users of PEDs and specifically users of injectable anabolic steroids, is that you build up a reputation with your users. You go, right, has anybody used product X? Did you have pain with the post-injection pain, PIP, when you use product X? And let's say that X is testosterone cypionate at 200 milligrams a milliliter. We know, for example, of people that will get issues with a 400, but no problems with the 200 and 300 milligram versions. You go, I'm not sure if my product's legit. We know, for example, the better bands, and I'm going to include Europharmacies again, sometimes get copied. But you don't know if the standard of the copy is as good as the standard of the original. As an example, again, what we don't see as much of anymore, but what we, sorry, should I say more accurately, what we are seeing more commonly is that nearly all the better brands that you and I have tried, tested, trusted ourselves are pretty much all grapeseed oil. And this seems to be the least allergic oil that you can use. It's also one of the thinnest oils you can use, which makes it easier to pull up, draw from the vial, easy to inject, and so on and so forth. So this is the kind of stuff that you start to look for. I will say this because I say this in other shows. When I say hand on heart, the only reason I've had any issues when I've injected, and I said this, you can see my logs when I've said it, is because I'm a cack-handed, inflexible motherfucker. I'm injecting into my quad. I can draw up no problem. And yet it's because I'm trying to put the plunger in, push it down into the muscle, and I'm kind of bent over sideways when I'm doing it. And I've got big fingers trying to get under the little flange around the syringe that I thought I might move the bloody thing around in the muscle. And that's where I'm going to get discomfort from. And this is just something that recent, my last injectable cycle, which was only a few months ago, was the first two injections were cack-handed because of me. And then after I sort of got into a comfortable position, the way that felt okay when I was injecting, zero issues. And that was using Europharmacy's product. Exactly the same product from start to finish, but it was just me being a cack-handed motherfucker. And we see this. Can you imagine if you're a beginner? And we've all done this back in the day, Steve, how nervous we are. Get kind of sweaty. Some people have literally had symptoms of what amounts to an anxiety attack. And they go, oh, is it injectable? It's a steroid use. No, motherfucker, it's literally you giving yourself an injection. So when you're using a product, you want that product to be trusted. You want it to be one that's giving you the minimum or no post-injection pain. Some of the higher dosage ones will give you that regardless. You want to make sure that it's using the right kind of oils, the right ratio of benzyl alcohol, that the advice you've been given. We had one recently where, and we're going to touch on this later in the show when we talk about floaters, they'd been given by a friend essentially some giant bloody syringe from the medicine cabinet at the hospital where this buddy worked, and he was using his draw up. It was fantastic for drawing up, but what it was doing is punching great holes, microscopic, but it's quite significant really when you're injecting, into the plunger, into the rubber stopper at the top, and he was getting floaters, and he's like, why has it got floaters? It's because you're using something the size of a fucking garden hose. If you use a smaller syringe, we know it's much harder to pull up. So these are simple mistakes and simple things. And here's a situation, and I don't think Steve was any different for me in this particular regard. When we're talking about beginners, we've been there. We've been nervous the first time you give yourself an injection. We want to make sure the first time we do it that we're using the right size needle. We want to make sure that we don't get any infections. We have all the same issues that every single beginner's ever had. We've had them. We've done it. My first ever injection sleeve was probably one of the easiest ones I ever did. Me and my buddy were both doing our first injection or testing Amphate. I think this was back in the day. He's on one side of the room. I'm on the other side of the room. If he was making eye contact, he was a piece of piss. The next one was like 3 minutes of me trying to squeeze that fucker in on my own. And it was just like, come on, get on with it. And it took me fucking ages, Steve. Eventually, years later, now 20 odd years in, probably 15 years of PED use, whatever, from that particular time, 20 years, but 15 years, whatever, of using PEDs and that, so on and so forth. And it's just much easier. I'm way less nervous. I kind of know what the fuck I'm doing. I know what pins to use. I know solid products. I work with brands like Europharmacies when I'm injecting specifically myself. I know what I like, I know what benefits me, and so on and so forth. And of course, even then, I think Steve has said this a little bit in the intro, if I haven't done it for a year or 2 years, I'll refresh my memory. I will go and listen to a show like this, look at the article that we've got on Evo that we're going to associate with this podcast, and I'll just refresh my memory. I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to get an infection. I don't want post-injection pain. So I do all these things, and I make sure that I'm using a trusted brand like Europharmacies to do that with. And like I said, I'll touch on this from something from other shows as well, right? I guarantee you, Steve and I could find horrendous examples. I can think of one specifically, Steve. And this was ironically, here in the United Kingdom, in England, and a wannabe wanted to get, as a young fellow, wanted to get in the Royal Marine Commandos and was convinced that he needed to be more muscular and stronger than he was at that time, just to do the basic training, just to pass the entry course. And he went off and got some steroids. He was way too young, Steve, 16, 17, and got some steroids, and there was a bacterial infection in the steroids. Now, the fella selling him the steroids were not going to try and infect him. They didn't know it was bacterially infected, but lo and behold, he ended up with some swelling of the brain and passed away. Mum and dad freaked the fuck out, found the steroids in the bedroom, the police were involved, and these two fellas ended up getting arrested. And not only because these things were infected, which not really the persons that sold them, they didn't really do that, but because they'd sold steroids themselves, which means they'd broken the law in terms of dealing and distribution, but also because he wasn't an adult. He was under the age of 18 years of age. So really, he shouldn't be consenting to being sold drugs, including steroids, at that age, and then using the steroids just to get in the Royal Marine Commandos, which was a big fuck up. And of course, getting, I think he's a swollen brain from the bacterial infection, and then pass it away, made for a hell of a horror story. And of course, did not do the UK steroid market and steroid using sector of the market, which includes people that are listening to this show, any favours whatsoever. And the reality of the situation is, and has been for some time, that the labs are way better than they used to be. There are videos on YouTube about site injection and proper procedures and techniques. You can buy syringes quite easily, which we'll touch on as well. People get nervous about buying these syringes. You can go to needle exchanges. You can buy them on eBay and Amazon. They're not illegal to buy. You can use them for scientific experiments, never mind injection. So that whole process, but if you're not used to it, if it's all new to you, you need to know the things that we're doing, and you definitely need to make sure that the source that you're using can be trusted and has zero issues when people are using that product. Back to you, Steve.
So let's talk about beginners versus pros. So let me give a couple perspectives on this, and I'll let Mobster give his perspective. So first off, when it comes to picking your Europharmacy injectables, you go through the list. You've got to understand esters. Now, there's certain esters that are short esters. And what does that mean? It means they have a shorter half-life. It means you start taking them, they peak in your system quicker. There's other esters that have longer half-lives. You inject them, they release slower. Okay, now these esters were attached to them for a reason, so that you didn't have to inject twice a day or every day. Really, technically, more than every day. You're supposed to, if you're using an anabolic steroid that has no ester attached, that means
hours.
Yeah, and the reason for that, the reason you would use something like that is if you're getting blood tested, doping. If you're a professional athlete who was worried about getting that call that told you, on Thursday you got to show up here and you've got to get tested. You got to get your blood drawn so we can see if you're on anything. That's why you would use a no ester. But you're a pharma, they have you covered no matter what you want to use. Now, I can look at it two different ways, Mobster. I can look at it, you're a newbie, you're a beginner. Do you want to use short esters because you want to keep your cycle short? Because remember what I said, you use short esters, they peak in your system quicker. So if you use testosterone propionate from Europharmacies, for example, it's got a three-day half-life, three-and-a-half-day half-life, whatever. But the point is, it's going to be peaking in your system after about a week and a half. Because remember, you take the half-life, you multiply it by 5. That gives you an approximation. So if you inject the test propionate every other day for a week and a half, now it's peaking your system. But if you pick a longer ester, testosterone cypionate, testosterone enanthate from Europharmacies, which they have, and they have many different options. They have a Sustanon option for testosterone, many different options. And if you pick one of those peak in your system much later, 40 days, 50 days, 60 days, even longer than that. So you need to be on longer for the peak in your system, which means you need to have a longer cycle. So with a shorter ester, you can go 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, then come off, and then it'd be out of your system quicker on the back end. So you'd be able to start recovering quicker. You'd run your PCT, your body would start recovering quicker because those hormones would be out of your system. Your body cannot start the recovery phase until the hormones are out of your system. You use a longer ester, it's going to be in your system longer. But so you're saying, well, Steve, it makes sense then for me as a beginner to use shorter esters. Well, here's the bad side of it is you're going to be injecting often, more often. So that may not be fun as a beginner if you've never injected before for me to tell you, hey, the first week you're going to be doing all these injections. So that's the way I look at it. That's one perspective on it. So you got to make the decision. Do I want to go the long ester route for less injections? But it's going to be harder for me to recover. It's going to take longer for me to recover because I'm going to be on 10 or 12 weeks or 14 weeks even. And that's going to take me much longer. Remember, time on, time off multiplied by two. So if you go on a cycle for 12 weeks, it takes 6 weeks for the esters to clear. That's 18 weeks, which means you have to come off for 36 weeks to fully recover. That's the golden rule, right? That we talk about on this podcast all the time. But if you only do like a 7 week cycle with short esters, they're out of your system in about 2 or 3 weeks. So let's say 10 weeks. So you only have to come off for 18 to 20 weeks. And then you can hop back on your steroids because you're likely going to be recovered. I can look at it like that. On the flip, and then another perspective, Monster, before I bring you in, is I can say as a beginner, do you want to run more steroids and have to inject more gear into your body? This means you're going to have to be injecting 2 or 3 cc's at a time if you're running multiple steroids at higher doses. So as a beginner, the way I look at it is maybe it would be in your best interest to just pick one steroid from your pharmacies to inject, and then you could pick an oral either to kickstart or just run alongside your injectable or as a finisher. And that would be an option. And Europharmacies has your orals covered as well. They've got the Anavar, they've got the T-Bowl, they've got D-Bowl if you want to bulk. They have Winstrol as a finisher. That'd be a good finisher. So they have different options from Europharmacies that you can do in terms of orals. So you're covered with Europharmacies no matter what you want to do. So I can look at it on that one, on two different perspectives. But for me as a beginner, because you're not sure how your body's going to react to these certain gears, these are the cliches that people will say, but it's in the end, it's true because you don't know how your body's going to react to estrogen. So if you go and you start with 500 milligrams of testosterone a week, what happens if you're very sensitive to estrogen? You're not going to know it. But then if you're stacking 2, 3 steroids, 4 steroids, and you're running all these dosing, you're not going to understand what's going on. Why am I getting gyno symptoms? Why am I getting itchy nipples? Why am I having a lump in my breast? Why am I having water retention? Why am I having insomnia? All these different side effects that you're going to be unprepared for because you've never had an experience using injectable steroids before. You see? So it's a little different. So my recommendation would be not to use multiple steroids as a beginner. So that would be really the difference between a beginner and a pro. But professionals, Mopsir, and we know this because we have professionals who work on our rep team, and they're they tell us what they run. They are running a ton of gear.
It's a load.
Yeah. So it's completely different. Yeah.
I mean, look, part of the problem here, Steve, is sometimes people that you would kind of trust, and I'm thinking of gym bros. I made the note of gym bros as you were talking. Is you'll get a gym bro giving you advice. And well-meaning sometimes, Steve, they're not trying to be assholes, but the kind of stuff that blokes do, men especially, with the macho bullshit and repeating ad infinitum something they heard of someone else. I mean, the classic example is you've got to have a testosterone base. No, you haven't. I've never done it. I've never had that sort of approach to a cycle, absolutely ever. And I'm one of the biggest, strongest motherfuckers on the forum. Not the biggest or the strongest, but one of the biggest and the strongest. And I've never done testosterone as a base. Fuck that shit. Never needed to. I've never done a kickstart or finisher. Never thought about it in that particular regards. Most of my stacks are way lower than most people and real, real simple. And arguably, I've been paid to do some of the things that I've been paid to do. I've won money at competitions. You could even call me a kind of professional just for doing this show now, Steve. I mean, it's and yet, I will hear things. I used the analogy earlier and I told the story earlier and I noticed when I came to the gym one day and the gym owner calls me over and points to a young lad, 18, 19, 20 years of age, I don't know, but he looked younger than me, down by the mirrors doing curls, and he said he's just done 4 mil into his quadruces. And I literally laughed and said he won't be back here tomorrow. He's going to wake up in the morning in pain with a fucking lump on his quad, and he'll think this is all bollocks, and he'll probably never lift again, never mind using an injection or whatever else. And the whole lot, what the fuck is he thinking? So the stuff you get from gym bros, and even Reddit is a bad example, and whatever. I get those bloody things when you reply on a thread on Facebook or a thread on Instagram, and the next thing I'm being invited into some steroid group. Motherfucker, I'm giving this advice. I don't need to join a group which is trying to sell me tons of steroids and talk shit. So it's crazy. On the even the competitive professional side, right? If we were talking about someone that was new to the sport, and if we actually did keep it real simple, let's say with test stipulate or testing out, we know that stipulate is number one as most sites selling injectable steroids. Test stipulate is number one. So let's say that we had a very simple, and we'll give you an example in a minute, basic cycle, just because you've never used a steroid before, or you've only used orals, this is literally your first injectable, let's have you on no more than 300 milligrams, maybe twice a week, or 200 twice a week for 400 milligrams total, right? Now, compare that to our Pet Pro. Our Pet Pro posted his cycle that he's going to use to get into shape for FIBA. He's been worked there before. He's been sponsored by companies there before. He's had a great big fucking 15-foot banner of his physique above the stand where he was working. He's going to get paid. I've seen the work that he does. And he's posted up this cycle, the stack that he's going to use to get into shape. It is multiple anabolic steroids. It is multiple peptides. It includes growth hormone. I think there's insulin in there and so on and so forth. So he's going to be just on insulin alone, Steve. Number of meals per day, he's going to be injecting insulin at least three times a day. He's going to be injecting 1 to 2 times a day growth hormone. So that's 5 injections right there. Okay. And that's without the injectable steroids. At the beginning of your cycle, you could use longer acting esters just as a sort of base to get him up, to bulk him up, get him up to a body weight. And I know that that's one of his intentions. He's concluded that as part of the stack. He says, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to be at the end. As a competing bodybuilder, he would definitely be using shorter acting esters at the end, where you want to tweak the stack, tweak the shape you're getting into, and you want certain things in and out of your system relatively quickly. What does that mean? It means with both the shorter insulin-sized needles for the peptides, for the growth for the insulin itself, multiple injections per day, and then almost certainly towards the end of even the current stack that he wants to do for FIBO, multiple injections of steroids per day. So what are we looking at? Arguably, potentially, at least 8 fucking injections per day. I Steve, the last injectable, the last Eurofarmacy stack that I did, which was the bulk, which was early in the new this year, early in 2024, I believe, or very, very late in 2023, I can't remember, was Sustendeca. So basically, and I was actually putting those into the same syringe, so I was doing 2 injections a week. He's going to be doing multiple, like I said, anywhere between 6, 8, maybe more injections per day. Now, I'm looking at 8 a fortnight, and he's looking at 8 a fucking day, Steve. It's a whole nother level. And so then you're looking at, for example, I could probably get away with, and that's exactly what I did. Bearing in mind, it was only 2 injections a week, 1 in my right outer quad, say, let's say Monday, and the other injection in my left outer quad on Thursday. So in other words, I'm only jabbing into each leg once a week. He will need the pro to rotate sites around the body, whether the peptide injections are into the lower belly fat. And even then, I wouldn't want them 8 injections or 6 injections of peptides growth hormone and insulin into my lower belly in the same goddamn place. So even then, he's going to have to move the needle up and down just to find a spot that he didn't inject it 5-10 minutes ago, so that he doesn't get sore and have issues. And then the injectable steroids, he's going to want to rotate sites. And that's without getting into specific site injection for a particular reason, whether that's volume of liquid to enhance the muscle size itself. This is not talking about sinful. This is using steroids and so on and so forth. And then you've got to be, there are certain places, if you're going to inject your pec, there are only 1 or 2 places on your pec you can inject and do it properly, especially if you're super lean. If he gets lean, the little bulge in the muscle when you're using the smaller muscles to inject into can be visible, and you don't want that. So it becomes, it's a whole nother level of the I'll say this, quote unquote, the science of injecting, the injecting technique and so on. You can fuck it up if you're injecting into your tricep, if you're flexing or you're nervous, so your muscles are tense versus relaxed. And you need to be injecting certain particular places, especially when you're muscle injecting in the less common sites, just because you might have more veins and arteries in that area than the next person. So you need to know that whether that's an issue or not. As an example, again, Steve, and something else that we didn't include in the notes for the show, we don't aspirate anymore. That used to be very common practice back in the day. So again, I mean, especially when it comes to muscle injections, and especially if you're a pro or even an amateur, but you wish to compete, or even if you're a model and you need to achieve a certain look, whether that's on Instagram, OnlyFans, or actual modeling gigs, et cetera, but you use anabolic steroids to get into shape, you don't want any unsightly bulges. You might be that guy that's sub 10%. If you're doing subcutaneous, you can have a little bulge for a day or two. So you want to make sure that that stuff's done ahead of time so that bulge disappears and you look slick for the photographs. You look good for the beach and so on and so forth. So these are little things that you need to consider. And that's without getting into making sure that your hygiene around the site of injection is good and so on and so forth. That's without the, especially for beginners, the simple fact that you might well be nervous. We have actually had, and I'll say this again, and I touched on it earlier on, we have actually had new members come on the forum. They've injected themselves with something that we know works, like Europharmacies. We've personally used, I have, their Deca and their Sustanon, their test blend, which is a Sustanon. And no, has zero issues. And this person's come on, injected less than I've injected, and freaked the fuck out, and thought they'd had an allergic reaction to the steroid. And all it is they've had a major anxiety attack. We all know people, Steve, that go to the doctors and they have to have the nurse hold their hand, or they've nearly passed out, and all they've been doing is getting a perfectly normal bloody injection from some antibiotic or whatever, or a flu jab or something. Hell, they probably had to deal with this or the whole COVID thing, Steve. That whole issue with that particular situation, people freaking out about whether it was in here, whether it's going to do this, whether, and that's just going to make you nervous. And when it comes to injectable steroids, and we've even touched on this on another show, where the wife, girlfriend, partner, whatever else, does not approve of you using injectables. So not only have you got the issue that you're nervous injecting yourself, you've got the issue of hiding the fact that you inject yourself on your significant other, or you have to do it somewhere else, like in a truck, can't do it in the house, whatever, right? So all of these situations, it makes it more difficult and more complex than what is arguably, and it's any person that's gone to the doctors or the hospital, whatever, ER, A&E, and had a jab off a nurse, when they know what they're doing, Steve, when they're not new to nursing, it is, to quote the English turn of phrase, a piece of piss. They pop it in before you even know you've had the injection. They're wiping you down before you even realize they've injected you with anything. And there's no jabbing away at veins and arteries and you pissing blood or whatever else, because the person that's doing it knows what they're doing. So at some point, and I think you and I are probably there now, Steve, and we've got plenty of buddies on the forums that are there now, they've got past this nervous approach. They kind of understand where they can inject. They know what works for them in terms of steroids. And arguably, it's almost become second nature. Now, you're not going to get that listening to this show the first time or the second time. You might, like I said earlier on, to come back to the show and look, listen to it again. But at some point, all of those nerves, all of the little mistakes, whatever you want to call them, disappear. And this is the reason why we have the forums. This is the reason why we do these shows. And it's getting you to that place that, if not comfortable, you are arguably, you know what you're doing. And that's what we want to get from this show today, that the first time you do it, you're listening to this show, Steve's seen him, Mobster, I've given him some advice, I've watched a couple of videos, I know where to get my syringes, I know what needles I need to use, and I know that Europharmacies is a trusted company, so I'm definitely going to give them a try of their products, and I'm going to follow Steve's, me and the Mobster's advice, and fingers crossed, especially for beginners, you get past all these little hurdles. Professionals, it becomes second nature. I've seen a bunch of professional interviews, and not only all of them talk about steroids, but none of them will talk about injecting techniques, et cetera, et cetera. You have to go on YouTube and find some random who doesn't look like a pro, and they're the ones that are telling you to inject in the top of your chest or in your armpit for the lat and so on and so forth. And you want to feel comfortable when you're listening to that person, when you're applying their advice, that they know what the fuck they're talking about. And that's what we want to present to you today. That experience, that knowledge, the mistakes that we've made, the mistakes that people make, the difference, especially between professionals and beginners, because it, you don't need to do what the pros are doing. You absolutely do not need to be using stats and hormones and peptides, and especially not the first, second, or even the third time. Maybe your genetics are great. Maybe you get into competitions. Then this information that's relative and specific to the pros becomes applicable. But by that point, you know how to give yourself an injection. You know the difference between intramuscular and subcutaneous. You know that you're going to need to rotate sites. And you learn that as part of the beginning process. So that's where we are today, Steve. Let's talk specifically about the kind of injectables that we think a beginner would give a go. And I can talk about from a couple of those from personal experience of using them. And we're getting to site specific, et cetera, et cetera. Let's start with you now.
Yeah, so, you know, I talked about testosterone earlier from Europharmacies, and they have different options. They have blends of testosterone, like things like Sustanon. They have a really good test sip. They have even 15 milliliter vials of tests, different testosterones, including test E and test sip. So these, you know, the idea behind these is they save you money. So those are all really, really good options for a beginner. And, you know, another option for a beginner you could go with is Primobolan. And Primobolan is a really mild steroid. So it's a DHT derivative, and it doesn't aromatize into estrogen. So you don't have to worry about estrogenic problems on cycle. It's not androgenic very much. So you don't have to worry about androgenic side effects on cycle very much. Okay, so obviously you run Primobolan, you jack up the dose. That's when you can open yourself up to some side effects, but nothing like other steroids. You're not going to get the same side effects because, as I said, it doesn't aromatize into estrogen, so you're not going to get any estrogen issues. And then you're not going to get that domino effect that comes with something that's both androgenic and estrogenic. So Primobolan is a very mild steroid. The good thing about the Europharmacies Primobolan, I talked about it on pre-show with Mobster, is years ago I ran Bare Primo, and this stuff was very, very expensive. And this stuff was like motor oil. So when you'd inject this stuff, you couldn't use a 25 gauge. You know, we're going to talk about needle sizes in a second. But I was being forced to use a 23 gauge needle because this stuff was so thick. Just drawing this stuff with a 23 gauge needle was hard. So you can imagine injecting it with a 23 gauge needle. And after I would inject it, I'd be like, I'd fall to the ground. I'd be in so much pain. I can't really describe the feeling. It's just like a feeling of you just got stabbed, you know, and you're on the ground just withering in pain, because that's what it feels like. The muscles really, really hate it. And then once the pain subsides, then you got to worry about the post-injection pain where it's sore. Your entire muscle is sore. So when you try to sleep at night, you can't sleep because you're laying on the muscle that you injected and it's in pain, and you got to lay on another way. Or you can't work out because the muscle whole area that you injected is in pain. So Europharmacies, the good thing about Europharmacies is they know what they're doing when they produce this Primobolan. This Primobolan is smooth. This Primobolan isn't thick like motor oil. So they knew what they were doing when they came up with this Primobolan option. They made it so it's tolerable to inject. So yes, as a beginner, it would be a good option if you wanted something lean muscle mass. Like, think of the 70s bodybuilders, the golden era bodybuilding. This is why they call Primo the golden nectar. And because that's what they liked to use back then, they didn't have access to AI. So they couldn't use testosterone, and because they'd blow up like a balloon, you know, and you have no way to combat the estrogen in those days. They didn't know anything about anti-estrogens. So with Primobolan, you can run Primobolan, and you can just get some good, clean, lean gains. And, you know, I'd recommend stacking a little bit of testosterone. That Mobster is right, what he said earlier. That's bullocks. You don't have to run testosterone with it. But in this case with Primobolan, maybe you want to run a little testosterone just to give the cycle a little bit of a kick. This way, you could take more advantage of the Primobolan and kind of blend it a little bit. So this is kind of the example of it's okay to stack two injectables in this situation, because you're running the Primobolan at like 400 or 500 milligrams a week, and you can run the testosterone at a very low dosage, 150 or even 125 milligrams a week. Or if you don't want to stack another injectable, you could throw in a little D ball. You could do it the 70s style. This is the Arnold style that he liked to do. Throw in a little D ball, a couple D balls a day with the Primo to give it a little kick that way. And then that would be a good option too. So that's a couple different beginner ideas, Mobster, since you were asking. You want to touch on that a bit? Maybe we can move on to the next topic and get a little more into the needles.
Let me give you an example. I'm just going to touch on one product, and I've actually got an example here, Steve. I was just shaking it off camera while you were doing your piece. So I have some Europharmacy's testosterone cypionate, 200 milligrams in the 15 mil vial. And I was shaking it in front of me, and I was remembering what you just said about the thick oil. And I think, and I told this story on another show, that when I very, very, very first got into oral steroids and later on injectable steroids, I used a very well-known steroid guru, shall not name on here, back in the day. So we're looking, I was age 37, so 22 years ago. So what we're looking at, early 2000s. And this stuff was coming in from Karachi, Pakistan, the capital city of Pakistan. It was Iranian, in Amphate, and so on and so forth. And that's where the products were coming from. And I think because they were medically produced by a pharmaceutical company, and because they're being used for medical purposes, the thickness was thicker because they're not jabbing daily. They're not using the volume that bodybuilders would use, weightlifters would use, and so on. You might be using half a mil. You might be giving that person 200 milligrams a week because it did what it needed to do for the medical treatment. And the thickness wasn't an issue. It's being injected into the muscular. You're laying on the bed. You don't care if it's a bit stingy because you're ill. But when you're a hopefully healthy, fit, muscular, lean bodybuilder, and you need to inject it at more volumes and more milligrams per week because it's for performance enhancement, by bigger and muscular, stronger, etc. And again, like I said to you earlier on, there's the allergic responses of certain products, just the ease of injecting. The product I've got here, Steve, would have the consistency, because it's still oil, of watch oil. And watch oil is just about the thinnest, wateriest oil you can possibly buy. And I was thinking, Steve, I've had, and I might still have one example here in my little antiquated stash, where, like Steve said, you could shake the vial and the oil was so viscous, it was running down the side of the vial slowly. And that's how thick it was in the goddamn vial, Steve. So you can only imagine how hard that would have been to inject into your body. Now, when you're using, like I said, with Europharmacies, a product that's grapeseed oil, way thinner. It's almost the consistency of that, as I said earlier on the watch oil, which means it's a lot easier to draw up and a lot easier to inject and way less likely to cause allergic responses. And you're not going to panic when you're injecting. You're not going to struggle. You're not going to move the syringe around because you're just sweaty and pressing the plunger down and so on and so forth. And as I said earlier on, and we did a show on this as well, we know that testosterone cypionate on the show that we did recently was the number one injectable. So it is, as an example, Steve, and that's because I train with a bunch of older guys, I know specifically of at least two of those older guys who've used Europharmacy's testosterone cypionate and specifically running it for TRT reasons. Let's get now into the specifics of injecting. So, Steve, let's talk about, I think, and this is real, real important, before you actually physically inject any steroid, you need to know a little bit about needle sizes and needle gauges. So I'll cover one part of that, right? The larger gauge is essentially a thicker actual pin. The actual needle thing itself, they're measured in gauge sizes. And we talk about 21s and 25s. Typically, when you're listening to bodybuilders and people that are using performance enhancing drugs, it's greens or blues. And the blue, which I think I've got here, Steve, in my office as we do this show, is, I believe, the 21, so it's a thinner. And I think the greens are the larger size. I want to confuse this a little bit, so I want you to double check before you go out and buy these things. You can get these from Amazon and eBay, as well as medical supply companies, which is what I actually ended up using. I buy 100 of these at a time. I always make sure to get a sharp spin if I haven't done a cycle for ages. And 100 of these is enough for multiple cycles for me. I would use, if I'm doing it properly, Steve, two different needles with the one syringe. One would be to draw up, meaning pull means jump in and connect. It's not a problem. So as I was saying, right, you've got the I would make sure to use a single needle to draw up the liquid from the vial, and then change that needle on the syringe, because literally just pushing it through the rubber stopper on a vial can blunt that needle. Now, some of us will use the same goddamn needle to inject, and they don't mind that. But again, if you want a smoother, pain-free injection, you put a new needle onto the end of the syringe, and that new needle is the one that you're going to inject with. And then both of those will go into your sharps bin. It's super, super important. Now, a quick tip, and I touched on this earlier on, Steve, when I talked about my own Susteca cycles back in the day and more recently, is you can use the same initial needle to draw from the two different vials. One would be Sustanon, one would be Deca. Use that quote-unquote blunter needle, the one that's already been used to draw up one product, and because they're both oil-based, put them both into the same syringe using the initial needle, and then change the needle and put on a fresh one to inject, because you have blunted it twice with the two different rubber stoppers on the two different products you're using. That's super, super important. There are companies, of course, including Europharmacies, that do blends of certain commonly used stacks and cycles, and they'll put those things together if it's possible for them to do so into the same vial, and that means you're only drawing up once and you're only injecting once. But listen, the needles that go onto the syringe are pennies per needle. And then we've touched on this in other shows, Steve, when we said you're going to spend $750 to $1,000. Don't be cheap and reuse needles. Don't get into bad habits with those kind of things. And if you are, especially pulling from one vial and another vial, you will have blunted by pushing it through the rubber stopper. And it's pennies, guys. If you're going to spend $4 on a coffee, don't be tight and not change a 21 cent or a 25 cent
needle.
Yeah.
That definitely. So always change it. That's definitely something you want to do. When it comes to needle sizes, you got anywhere from the biggest, which is 18 gauge, to the smallest, which is 31. Those are the slim pins. So you got 29 and 31 slim pins. And then the drawing needles, 18. Some people like to use 18 or 21, as Monster said. I like to draw.
Talk about the length as well, Steve. The length. This is slightly confusing for people. And I'll touch on this briefly, and I'll let Steve finish up. Right. So certain muscle groups, and I'm thinking specifically the most common injection site, which would be the gluteal muscle. And make sure that you look this up, the right place to inject specifically. I'll put it crudely, my right arse cheek is the upper right-hand quadrant on the right cheek and the upper left-hand quadrant on the left cheek. And this would probably be the most common site that people talk about injecting into, right? So you end up using a longer, so for example, one and a quarter, one and a half inch. I would recommend at least a 1.5 inch, and especially if you've got higher body fat. And you will, men and women, have slightly higher amount of body fat on your arse cheeks compared to, say, for example, your bicep. So you make sure that you use the longer syringes. But for example, Steve just touched upon insulin, specifically the peptides, and any of the peptides are typically done into the lower fold of skin around your belly fat, almost into the area where there is no, it's very thin right at the very base, even on me, Steve. And again, site specific, if you're injecting into the bicep, I wouldn't want to use a large gauge, longer syringe. I'll let Steve touch on this as well, because it's really important.
Yeah, let's simplify things a little bit. You know, so I'm going to simplify this way. 95% of the situations where you're doing injectables, you'll be able to inject with a 25 gauge, 1 inch needle. That's going to be what you use on 95%. Now the slim pins, a 29 gauge, you can use those if you're doing a small amount of gear. Maybe if you're doing TRT, you can do those slim pins and do like half a cc with a slim pin. But you're not going to inject it into your belly fat. You're going to inject it on top of a muscle, whether it be your pecs or your delts or your quads or your glutes, whatever. Glutes, as Monster said, has a lot of fat. Might be hard to get it even close to the muscle. But that's what you want to do. Some people will still use that. Now, the issue with using slim pins and using them too often and is going to be scar tissue, sterile abscesses, and stuff like that. So, you know, and that's not good, because that's going to end up in the long term disallowing you from injecting in that spot. Obviously, if you try to inject into scar tissue, you're going to just hit a bunch of hard stuff. And I've done it before. I built up scar tissue from injecting the same spot over and over. And what you end up having to do is like kind of breaking through that. And then you get a bloody mess on your hands, because that little blood spot
you know, bursts, and it's like kind of like breaking a scab, and then the blood just goes everywhere. So you get a big blood rush. So you don't want to get make too much of a habit of using. So basically 95% of the situation, you want to load up on the 25 gauge 1-inch needles. Those are good on most situations. And then to draw up, you want to get some 18 gauge needles. And you don't have to swap out the 18 gauge needles and throw them out. If you're drawing with an 18 gauge needle, just you can use it over and over. It's fine. It's going to be sterile. But if you're using a needle to inject, then you definitely want to throw them out. So let's get into Mobster. I think we touched on those topics. Let's get into issues with floaters caused by using too big of a pin. And it kind of ties into what I just said. And I've had this happen before. You're using a really thick 18 gauge and you're sticking it in there and you're drawing, that black rubber is going to get broken up. So you really want to be careful with that. And if you start noticing those, but your pharmacist does a good job of providing high quality vials. Some underground
I've never had a single floater from any of the Europharmacies products. And I think, like Steve, I've been running Europharmacies for a lot of my cycles, orals and injectables, probably the best part of 5 years, maybe longer, Steve, and never seen a single floater. Listen, guys, if I brought a product, and it doesn't matter who the supplier is, and I haven't even taken that little cap off, the blue cap in this case, I'm looking at their website right now, and there was a floater in there, I want to know what the fuck's going on. That's really bad product. Now, as Steve said, and the example I gave earlier on was that particular person had a buddy that had given him one of the really big, like 5 or 6 mil, whatever the fuck it was, Steve. It's the kind of thing you do, like, I can only imagine it looks like something that you put fucking icing sugar onto a bloody cake with to decorate it. And it's big fucking needle on the end. And God knows what the gauge was. Probably a fucking quarter inch. And then trust me, if you had injected that into yourself, which he wasn't, thank Christ, it would be like sticking a hose pipe in. And what he was using this massive great syringe with this really big needle on the end to pull the product out. Not realizing it was like a center punch, Stephen. It was literally puncturing holes through the rubber bung. Now, regardless of the quality and the quality of Europharmacies is right up there. If you're using a massive great needle like he was, and I couldn't begin to guess at the gauge that he was using, it's like punching a hole into the piece of paper. You are, and the rubber can only give so much and close over. If you use a massive needle like that, essentially it stays open and bits of the rubber were coming off at the end. And of course, there's a little bit of oil coming back out the end of the syringe, and these bits of rubber were in the bottom of the vial. It was literally that he was using the wrong size product. Equally, if you use too thin, A, it's a sod to get it through the rubber bung, and B, you'll be pulling on that bloody thing for half an hour to get the stuff to come out, regardless of how thin it is. So you've got to make sure that it is a sterile, high-quality product that your pharmacist produces, but also that you're using the right size needle on the syringe to pull the product out. You're not jabbing away. For example, and it's a silly thing, Steve, I wouldn't keep pushing it in exactly the same place on the rubber bung every time. That makes no sense. I wouldn't use an oversized needle to draw up. I would never use a product that's got floaters in it before I've even pulled the end cap off. So these are kind of obvious things. I mean, and again, I would always rotate, like I said earlier, I'm making sure that I'm using multiple syringes, one to draw, one to do the things. Like Steve said, I could reuse the same syringe again and again and again just to draw the product up. That's fine. It really is. But I want to make sure I'm using a fresh one every single time. These are kind of almost, I'm going to say schoolboyish, because it's literally some people will cheap out and save themselves 30 cents, 25 cents or something like that by reusing. Let me give you a terrible example, Steve. And this is not even floaters. This was just a really bad habit. And I was actually reading about this shit in the 80s. And in the 80s, as you might recall, Steve, and it's not necessarily good for the show, but the whole AIDS epidemic was absolutely massive. And one of the things that came around in the bodybuilding magazines, because we were thinking of people using injectables, obviously, in the 80s, and we started to worry, naturally, like everybody else did at that time, about the risk. And this was guys that were so cheap that they were sharing syringes and needles. So it was like a hardcore thing in the American gyms and some of these UK gyms as well, where they we didn't have the needle exchanges. You didn't have Amazon. eBay, I don't think, existed in 1980. So what did they do? They had to go to medical suppliers, persuade them to sell them the needles. And because they were actually kind of expensive then versus now, they would draw up with the same needle. They would inject with the same needle, and then they'd pass it to their buddy to use. And if you were very lucky, Steve, they would use a sterile wipe on the needle and on the skin. But we were hearing about guys that were sharing needles. Now, the association with recreational drugs, et cetera, and use of needles, we know that the reason why a lot of these recreational drug users that inject get infections is because they're reusing dirty needles or they're sharing needles. We do not need to do that now, and we certainly don't encourage that kind of behavior. Even macho, quote-unquote, responsible, risky-type behavior with PED-using bodybuilders and weightlifters, because it's just that kind of level, this level of stupid. Something I want to clear up, and again, we've touched on it a little bit, and this also would probably apply to the few listeners, 5%, 10% that are listening, that like to inject small amounts on a regular basis. And occasionally we get the sub-Q thing come up. Now, peptides, growth hormone, insulin, tends to be a much smaller needle and injected sub-Q. What do we mean by sub-Q? Well, sub-Q is a shorthand version for subcutaneous, and subcutaneous essentially means under the skin. So there are three ways. Pretty much the most common way of injecting anything would be intravenous or into the vein, IM, intramuscular or into the muscle, and sub-Q, subcutaneous or under the skin. In bodybuilding, it's pretty much two. There is no into the vein. So it's intramuscular, meaning into the deep part of the muscle, if you can. Again, especially glutes, quads, etc., the bigger muscle groups. And then subcutaneous. And some listeners, again, 5%, as I said earlier on, they have this kind of theoretical thing more than anything else, where they'll take a cypionate or an enanthate, but they'll inject a small amount almost daily. And because it's a very small amount, there's an argument to be made, and the science actually kind of supports it a little bit, of injecting that small amount underneath the skin. Now, whether that's in the same place you'd inject a peptide, or underneath the skin of the bicep, or underneath the skin of the chest, or underneath the skin of the quad, fine. But again, there's the issue with, once the volume starts to creep up, you're going to have a bubble of oil underneath the skin, not in the muscle. And I always argue, Steve, with this regards, and it's more of a beginner's thing as well, I try to take the approach that we follow as much as we possibly can the medical reasons why that steroid was injected. And if the amount of reviews, studies, data that came back from a million people using a steroid for a particular medical condition was that the best way to inject it was into the muscle, intramuscular, then that to me makes the most sense. It's the way that it's going to get into the system. It's going to get into your system slowly over a matter of hours, days, depending on the product. And it makes the most sense to me. And especially if you're a bodybuilder rather than a weightlifter or a strength athlete, as I am, you do not want unsightly bulges, especially if you're lean, body fat, and whatever else. So that's definitely something. Any other issues that you can see that people sometimes have, Steve, that we can clear up for listeners?
Yeah, I would say listen to your body. We see a lot of guys come on the forum and they're like, well, I'm injecting this gear and I keep having issues. I keep having scar tissue. I keep having abscesses. I keep having redness to the area. I keep having this and that. Well, you know, it's kind of like going fishing. I use a fishing analogy. You go fishing. Everyone around you is catching fish and you're the only one not catching fish. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. And a lot of times it's the injection technique. We're not there with you to watch.
I'm not perfect. Steve, I still get that candid thing until I get
sometimes you get a bad injection. But if it's happening over and over and over again, something is wrong. Either you're allergic to the gear. The Europharmacy's gear, it's very, very rare that anyone has issues with the gear. So if you're using Europharmacy's and you're having these issues, injection after injection, either you're extremely allergic to gear or extremely sensitive to PIP, which I am, by the way, and I don't have this issue with Europharmacy's, or more than likely your injection technique needs to be improved. And, you know, one of the things you have to do, and Mobster talked about it earlier, the machoism, one of the things of machoism is
ignore that. Ignore it.
I know what I'm doing. I'm right. I know more than everyone else. It's kind of like the Aaron Rodgers mentality, the Karen Rodgers mentality of I know what's right.
Every young man thinks they can drive like a race driver until they crash into a tree, Steve.
Yeah, same.
Every person that's ever used steroids will talk shit about how I'll tell you how strong I once was, but I'll make it sound like I was that strong last week.
Yeah, there's a reason 20-year-olds pay five times more than someone who's in their 50s because they get in a lot more accidents. It was the same thing. Yes. So look, you gotta learn through trial and error, and you have to learn that, you know what, if I'm doing something wrong, maybe I need to take a video of my injections, have someone take a video of you or set up the camera to take a video, post it on the forum, and let us take a look at your injection. Because it's hard. It's hard to come on the forum and say, you know what, I keep having the same problem over and over. And then you want to blame the gear when it's not the gear.
Let me give you an example, Steve. And I've actually mentioned this on a bunch of shows. Listen, right, including neuropharmacies, and this is not a knock, it's just business. Europharmacies, as well as a bunch of other companies, produce products which have high milligram per milliliter doses of product. Now, I'll give you an example. There's a product there with 400 milligrams. I think they do a 400 and a 450. There are other companies I've seen rarely 500 milligrams of a injectable steroid per milliliter. Now, the reality of the situation is that most users will get some, not necessarily bad, but some discomfort with the higher milligram per milliliter products. There's a sort of a perverse, skewed economic thing. Yes, the higher milligram per milliliter will be more cheaper, better, a bargain price compared to, say, a 300 or 250 on a milligram per milliliter basis. But ironically, and this has happened a few times, like Steve says, the questions come up, and then eventually they've had to go off and then buy some of the grapeseed oil for themselves or mix it with something else, which is a thinner, less milligrams per milliliter, to sort of even it out. So they've actually probably been better off buying a 300 milligram. Another example, Steve, would be comparing yourself with someone who's super lean versus someone who's actually got normal to high percentage of body fat. Obviously, the higher percentage of body fat person is going to lead a longer syringe. So, for example, my buddy's used this product, he never has any problems. Your buddy's 8%, you're 20% body fat. It may well be, like I said, that they're drawing up and injecting, and they've neglected to mention this. Oh, this product's always giving me pip. Motherfucker, it's you. Silly things, stupid things. Like I said, the idea that you're going to save yourself 25 cents. A great example. I've got the same product here that everybody else got around the time of the great COVID thing again, Steve. Lots of that 70% alcohol stuff, which is actually really good for cleaning up the fucking skin. But it's to buy the alcohol wipes, the little wipes that you see them using in hospital to wipe your skin down with, which is probably even higher percentage of alcohol, probably 80 or 90%, I believe. These are pennies, like 3p or 4p, 5 cents a wipe. So if you were doing things completely properly, it might be that you're not using the wipes. We've had other listeners, other users, where they get acne all the time and stuff like that. And I wouldn't want to inject where I had any acne because obviously my skin's oily. We know, for example, that some of these users need to just literally change the soaps or the shampoos or the shower gels they're using and have something that's mildly antibacterial to dry the skin out. It might be that they're not getting out in the sun. And again, that might be where they're injecting. Yeah, if you inject it into the lap, for example, you're injecting very, very near to where the sweat glands are. I mean, our stinky pits, especially as men, high testosterone using men especially, would be a bacterial issue. So you want to make sure, especially if you're injecting into that site. So these are the kind of things. And sometimes what happens is, and it's a macho thing as well, Steve, it's just that lack of information. And the more questions they ask, the more we go, hang on, that's the reason why you're injecting into your hamstring, not the quad. As an example again, and it might just literally be the difference between me and Steve. He might have more nerve endings in a muscle than I've got. His veins might be closer to the surface than mine are. You might accidentally not realizing that you're super lean, your artery is only a couple of inches in, and you're using a long syringe and you're pushing really hard into the muscle and you don't even know that you're doing this. And like I said, I've literally had a conversation just this morning. The guy looks like he's got an infection, but it's not near the injection site. So maybe it's an insect bite. We've told him to go get some antibiotics, go to the doctor. Listen, the amount of guys that have had piss poor technique back in the day, Steve, and they've left it and they've left it and they left it, which is another macho thing. And then eventually when it's become full-blown antibacterial abscess or whatever else, then they've gone to ER when they've already got a low-grade viral infection going on or whatever else, and they're sweating. It's like the flu and stuff. Motherfucker, you should have been there 2 weeks ago. What was you waiting for? Don't be so goddamn macho. Listen, and again, this is the reason why we're doing this show, Steve, as you know. We absolutely want you, I will literally refresh my memory about a particular steroid or injection technique, or make sure that I've got the necessity, the ancillary parts, the sharp spin, et cetera, et cetera. Here's one for you, Stephen. This is how silly people can be. And you listeners, you do not need to be like this. A mate of mine got some growth hormone to treat the Crohn's and colitis medical condition he had. So growth hormone is fantastic for repairing that part of the gut. But he got me to go to the needle exchange, pretending I was him, in order to get him the sharp spin and the needles that he needed, because he dated one of the nurses there and he didn't want her to know, his ex, mind you, that he was going down there and he's going to be using growth hormone in case she gave him the evils and told him he was a naughty boy or something like that. And it was just a macho thing of not wanting to maybe face his ex-girlfriend and see him coming to the needle exchange, was I didn't care one way or the other, so I've done him a favor. So there you go, guys. I mean, it's just that sounds sometimes nervous we can be. We don't want to ask about something so basic. And it's super, super important for us to make sure that you do these things properly, to make sure you know what you're doing. There are YouTube videos you can check out for specific site injections. You will see people make it look crazy, crazy easy. There's a couple of documentaries on there where they're injected on camera in front of the person filming the documentary to show you how easy it can be. But make sure you use proper technique. Make sure you're using the right size needle. Make sure you use a high quality company like your pharmacist with the super thin oils so that you don't get these problems. And by all means, come onto the forums, post comments below, ask the questions you need to ask. Don't be embarrassed. Give some tips if you've got some tips as well. Things like warming the oil up is going to make it thinner, make it go into your body quicker. By all means, let us know what you think. Please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It's our view based on our experience and views on the topic. A podcast for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment.